two big numbers for you at the beginning of this hour. Two big numbers. 101 versus 75. Put six zeros after each one of those numbers. You got 101 million versus 75 million. That's the fundraising disparity between the Republicans and Democrats for just the month of July. The GOP, way ahead, 101 versus 75. It's pretty mainstream for campaigns to adopt a lowering expectations strategy, even though, given that, one email from the Obama campaign about a week ago sounded a little ominous, perhaps a little whiny, too. The president noted personally that his upcoming birthday, which passed this week, could be the last one I celebrate as president of the United States. But that's not up to me. It's up to you. Faux desperation there from Barack Obama, or is this a real crisis between the Romney campaigns and the Obama campaigns? Contrast that with some struggling incumbents in the Senate, particularly Democrat Claire McCaskill, who is defending her seat in a tight race in Missouri and will face longtime Missouri politician Congressman Todd Akin, who won in the primary last night. Todd Zwillick here in New York, but of course our Washington, D.C. correspondent. Todd Zwillick, first of all, welcome.
Hey, John, just passing through.
It's great to see you here. What's going on here? It seems to me that this fundraising disparity allows the GOP to crow, first of all, and say, hey, we're way ahead. And it also allows them to deploy resources in tightly targeted congressional and Senate races like this. Seems like Karl Rove and some of the bundlers really want to win the Senate. That may be a more important prize than the White House. What do you think's going on here?
I think you're right, and we have to separate all the different pools of money that are at work here.
Sure.
Karl Rove does have a role with Republicans per se, but keep in mind, Karl Rove's big role is Crossroads GPS. That is a super PAC that is not affiliated with Mitt Romney or the Senate campaign or the RNC or any other Republicans. Wink, wink, right? That's Citizens United
at work.
This
is all about the resources that are going to be deployed to some end. Maybe it's ideological. Maybe it's win the Senate. And of course, you've got the Romney and Obama campaigns. They want the White House.
Correct. And we do have a Republican affiliated super PAC, $25 million ad buy in the swing states. The first really gigantic one that's being mounted from all this big Republican outside money from people like Sheldon Adelson in Nevada,
right.
Karl Rove at Crossroads GPS. Democrats have these two, but their outside money is not nearly as big. And I would ask you to look more at the outside money, which is difficult to do, than at the RNC. DNC, DNC, Obama, Romney money, which also has a disparity.
$25 million. And again, that's just a tiny piece here. You know, if we go all the way to November, a huge ad buy, $25 million in Ohio, in Florida,
right.
In Virginia, in Colorado, in Pennsylvania.
Right.
A couple other states in there as well. New Mexico, probably.
North Carolina. New Mexico, maybe.
Yep.
Arizona might be on there, sure. Wisconsin, Michigan.
These people are already well into the campaign commercial season. We're seeing nothing here in New York, of course, and California, they're probably not going to see much either. Does this kind of funding disparity, does that become an issue for the Romney campaign in the sense that if this is going to be decided, even in the state of Virginia, you could be decisive just spending these kinds of dollars in six or seven states.
And they have to be. I have urged people in these swing states, Florida in particular, if your mute button is not well oiled, get out there and get the WD-40 to make sure it's working. If they're not inundated already, which they are, it's going to get far worse wall to wall during your local news and your CNN broadcast between now and November 6th. Here's the thing about the way a lot of the money is working in those swing states. Mitt Romney is behind in almost all of them by 2 to 3 points consistently. Mitt Romney is behind in this race. Barack Obama is winning right now. So the money for Mitt Romney becomes especially important in that narrow cross-section of states that you mentioned. And part of Mitt Romney's main problem is likability. He is far less likable than the president. Mitt Romney is trying to run a referendum election. He's going to be spending this money. Now, of course, not the outside money, wink, wink. Other people are spending that. We all know that. That money is going to be spent trying to damage how much you, the swing voter, like Barack Obama, how much you think about the quality of his first 3.5 years of performance. It's the only chance Mitt Romney really has.
And, of course, Romney is fighting back. Listen.
I have paid taxes every year, and a lot of taxes, a lot of taxes. So Harry is simply wrong, and that's why I'm so anxious for him to give us the names of the people who have put this forward. I wouldn't be at all surprised to hear the names are people from the White House or the Obama campaign or who knows where they're coming from.
I was at a Tea Party summit in Washington over the weekend. Laura Ingraham made a joke about Harry, said, let's begin with a little joke. Harry Reid, the place jumped to its feet and screaming. There is such a divisive quality here. And we're talking about this Harry Reid charge that Mitt Romney's paid no taxes over 10 years.
Harry Reid is happy to have Laura Ingraham and the Tea Party summit think that he's crazy or lying. He doesn't care. Harry Reid's not running. The Senate Majority Leader made this charge that Mitt Romney has not paid taxes over the 10 years and has not backed it up. It is an unsubstantiated claim. In the world of bare-knuckle politics, which Harry, soft-spoken Harry Reid is famous for,
there's a presumption of guilt.
He doesn't care. Mitt Romney is still talking about his taxes. Harry Reid's staff is crowing on Twitter about the number of times Mitt Romney has had to respond to these claims that Harry Reid made. Whether it's true or not, we hope it's true. We don't want Harry Reid to be a liar. Let's assume he did have a conversation like that, even if there's no proof. Harry Reid's sitting fine in the Senate. Mitt Romney still answering questions about his unreleased tax returns, and mission accomplished.
Speaking of likability, is Democrat Claire McCaskill going to pass the likability test this fall in Missouri? That's a vulnerable state for Democrats.
Boy, is she in a tough race. And the interesting thing about Congressman Todd Akin winning in a field of three or more last night is that Claire McCaskill, if she's going to win, did a good thing last night. She followed the Harry Reid model when Harry Reid ran in his race against Sharon Engel, the Tea Party favorite, and beat her. It's because he spent $10 million making sure that she won her primary.
So you're saying McCaskill helped Akin.
Ran ads for Akin saying he's way too conservative for Missouri, which conservatives loved. If Claire McCaskill hates him, then we must love him. She thinks that running against him is the only shot she has to stay. He is very, very conservative, John.
Why? A gamble.
And she tried running ads in a way that helped him to get him in there so she can run against him.
Different story in Michigan, right? John Dingell looks like he's going to be fine.
30th term John Dingell's headed for. He was in a primary, and we had a fella named Daniel Marson on the show. I think I was subbing for you one day.
Yeah.
Listen to Daniel Marson, a PhD student from University of Michigan who was challenging John Dingell for his seat in the Democratic primary.
If you look at the amount of federal spending by district for all the congressmen, John Dingell doesn't even bring in enough federal spending to rank above the median. So half of the members of Congress are getting more federal spending in their district than the dean of the House is.
Nice try. Maybe he'll try again.
Daniel Marson gave it a shot. John Dingell, the longest-serving member of Congress in the history of this republic, headed, it looks like, for a 30th term, first elected in 1955.
Dingell, a synonym for the word incumbency. Todd Zwillick, you're our incumbent takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, John.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.